It's time for Deputy Leader Fletcher Tabateau from the New Zealand First Party.
Fletcher is back with us on a Wednesday. I spoke to Fletcher this morning about the Treasury's modelling of unemployment figures announced yesterday, how to best support workers at this time, and what he expected to hear during the Epidemic Response Committee meeting. Treasury announced some modelling around unemployment figures, which could or could not happen based on different scenarios. I'm wondering about, I haven't been able to see any kind of specific figures for how this might affect the regions, but you know, could you tell us whether this is going to disproportionately affect those in the regions or not?
The assumption, my assumption, and it's only my assumption, would be that it would depend on the region. So each place has its different kind of what we'd call the comparative advantage. So there are actually some industries and some regions in New Zealand that are going gangbusters. You know, exports are actually up. Tauranga Port is moving more goods than it did this time last year. So it's not about regions versus cities. It's about identifying specific gaps and understanding what the issues are there. For example, Rotorua will be hit hard. It's a tourism city. It's a forestry town. So in those, well, at the moment, they both appear to be that they will be hit hard. Tourism in particular, although I notice that even Napier ports have less and less logs on them. So it's a matter of going through day by day and actually acknowledging that what you've got to do as a government is be responsive to issues and make sure you've got the right settings in place for businesses, because that's where all the money and, you know, the hard work, whether you own them or work in them, is done. So you've got to make sure that that's set up right. So absolutely having these discussions, but it's not regions versus cities. It would be my long answer.
Yeah. I guess it would be, like you say, the specific industries, which are, I guess, getting more injured than others, I suppose, in all of
this. Yeah, exactly.
In terms of like what you're saying around those who own them or those who are working in them, there's obviously going to be very different effects on those different positions. Yes, certainly somebody who, like we've seen with Burger King, for example, I suppose they're going into receivership, but there's definitely going to be more adverse effects for those workers who perhaps are on precarious contracts or the likes of that. Do you think that, I mean, with the wage subsidy, we've seen a sort of breathing room for businesses and for workers in order to kind of get through this period. What happens after that, though, in terms of making sure that we're going to be protecting our workers?
So it's all about what I would call the macroeconomic response. So the wage subsidy is about making sure not only that people can get by if their employer is in a position to keep the business operational, because that's another thing that we're looking to do is cash flow problems of businesses, because that money has to flow through to the employees. But what that is doing is making sure that it's easier to retain staff, so that when we do come out of lockdown, people have actually got money to spend and they've got the work to go back to. Now, that's going to be incredibly, incredibly powerful and really important, that a significant portion of people will have seen the lockdown as a pause, and that we get to move on when the lockdowns are lifted. So not all businesses and employees will be in that position. So there's there's so much stuff happening. So there's been government guaranteed loans to businesses to hopefully help them transition through this period, so that they can keep paying their fixed costs of capital, like rent and commercial leases and things like that. And then yesterday and today, the Finance Minister Grant Robertson and the Revenue Minister Stuart Nash are releasing, for example, a $3.1 billion tax package for small businesses, so that they can not worry about the tax bill, as it were, for a little while and just get on with businesses. So it's about being nimble and responsive. And to be honest, the government's been doing a great job of just what's the issues and what is the solution like, bearing in mind we're only in week three of the lockdown.
Mm. And certainly those, you know, provisions towards business owners and businesses has been really great in supporting and, like you say, making sure they can get through and start up again. But do you think that there also needs to be more support for workers?
Yeah. How do you support workers? You support businesses that employ them. So you make sure that there are jobs there, that there are wages going out the door, that there are sales happening, that there's revenue coming in. And so actually what the wage subsidy did was help workers more than businesses. And there's been some big kind of moves by the Reserve Bank and the government to put a lot of money, cheap money, out into the economy so that businesses can access that. That hasn't been picked up as quickly as we would like. So now we're designing very niche responses for small businesses so that when we come out of lockdown, there are jobs and there is money there for them to employ people. And, you know, that what the whole economy is designed on is money going around in a circular way. You pay your wages to your worker and the worker buys their goods from a business, and so that loop continues. And that's fundamentally what we have to maintain.
Yeah, I guess my concern just around people that, for example, there's been rent freezes put in place, right? But there hasn't actually been any kind of decreases or absolute kind of reductions on rent, right? And you've got people mm-hmm. who mm-hmm. are very worried that they might not even be able to get through the dahui in terms of paying their rent, and therefore will they even have a house at the end of this, let alone, you know, if they do have a job to go to, but they may not have a house. So if you've got businesses that are not having to pay their rent, and I do understand that that's incredibly important, right, in maintaining that business, but yeah, do you see what I mean?
Well, actually, businesses do have to pay their rent, so it's like if you're a small business owner, you've put your house on the line, you've taken out a massive business loan with a bank to try and get some cash to start up a business, and your house is on the line as well. So I'm not saying that employees are not in the same position. I just want people to know that most, you know, small business owners are just normal people too, who have got everything on the line as well. For employees who are working for the businesses, what the wage subsidy hopefully means that the majority of people are at least on 80% of their wage, which means that they can hopefully deal with the fundamentals like just paying the rent or the mortgage bill. If the business has gone bankrupt and there's no job there, then there is, you know, there are lots of options, but there's the dole, which has gone up, and I know that's nothing compared to a well-paying job, but that's essentially the options we have at this stage.
Moving into, I guess, just the final thing I want to touch on, another industry which has been hit hard is the media, and we're going to be hearing from media spokespeople in the Epidemic Response Committee today. What are you expecting to hear today?
Well, I'm expecting to hear a lot of businesses whose business model has been compromised, probably by social media, to be fair, is my layman's interpretation. It's not my area of expertise, but, you know, people seem to get their news from Facebook and, you know, other places now. And so what has that meant for media companies? Well, it's meant decreasing revenues over several years, and now COVID's here. It's just, you know, almost the kind of final nail in the coffin. So that's I'm expecting to hear those stories from a whole range of media outlets.
Mm. Do you think the government has a responsibility to sort of take a more hands-on approach than they have with the media?
Minister Faafui is the comms minister, and he's actually coming out with some announcements this afternoon, unfortunately, after the select committee. The timing is not that great. So there are these ideas, you know, how do we go forward? So we'll see what that looks like. I mean, yeah, the fourth estate is fundamental to not only getting information out there, but almost like the opposition is, you know, holding a government to account and making sure there's transparency in everything we do. So if we come from that premise, we've probably, hopefully, got the right formula going forward.
We haven't actually had a chance to talk about this yet, but the whole NZ First political donations scandal has, you know, that's kind of all gone very quiet, but it was the media which brought that to the forefront.
It was a kind of disgruntled a former party exec person who decided he wanted to go toxic. So, I completely agree with you. That's what I'm saying. Transparency is everything. So let's make sure the media have some kind of platform and are there fundamentally.
That was Deputy Leader Fletcher Tabateau from the New Zealand First Party.